This recording is from Willow Creek Church in Winter Springs, Florida, where Dr. Pete Allinson is our senior pastor. This sermon is part three in our Purpose Driven Life series and is entitled Formed for God's Family. Now here's Pete with today's message.
Lord, thank you for coming out of our body and singing to us and leading us in worship as the body of Christ. Kids, you're a part of the family, and we couldn't do without you, but we're going to let you go for a couple of minutes. You may be dismissed for children's church, children's worship. And here in this place, well, everywhere around this church, right, Sunday morning, you cannot find a nook or cranny in this place where we're not talking about the 40 days of purpose. Because we're in really the third week of this whole process as a church body and as individuals talking about 40 days of purpose and what that means for all of us as God's people. It's really a way topically to look at those things in Scripture that God says are important to His people. I love the story. Somebody gave it to me the other day about a minister, a young minister, who was doing one of the first funerals that he'd ever done. And he was late getting to the grave site. In fact, he'd lost his way, and as a man, he didn't bother to stop and ask for directions, how rare that is, but he was one of those guys that didn't. And finally, he arrived at the grave site, and this funeral was up for a derelict who had been in this, just kind of passing through this community. No family, no friends. Probably nobody was going to show up at this funeral, and so he was just going to do that. But by the time the minister got there, all he saw was the workers. The hearse was gone, and he walked over to the grave site and apologized to the workers who were there. They looked a little puzzled when he apologized. He stepped to the side of the grave. He looked down, and the thing was already covered over with the concrete deal, And he thought, he felt bad that he wasn't there early on time. And so he started preaching. I mean, what else are you going to do? Nobody else was going to show up anyway. And so he started the sermon. And the workers were still eating their lunch. They kind of gathered around. He preached and preached and preached. And they started saying, they must have been Baptists or something, because they started saying, amen, glory, hallelujah. And so this guy just kept on going. I've always said, if you want a preacher to preach a great sermon, sit in the front row and cheer. Now, it'll be a long one, but it'll be a good one. And this guy was cheered on, and he kept preaching and preaching and preaching. And finally, it was over, and he said goodbye to the guys and started walking to the car. As he was taking his coat off and got into the car, he overheard one worker say to another, said, you know, I've been putting septic systems in forever, and this is the dangest thing I've ever heard, man. Sometimes we go through life so quickly, so fast. We're late for everything. We're not thinking anything through. We end up doing stupid things because we end up in the wrong place at the wrong time, having not thought about the things that are the most important to us. And it just makes sense to spend at least 40 days thinking about why we're on this planet. That's what we're doing. Last week we talked about the first purpose that we're here, which is the purpose of worship. To be before the living God of the universe, not only in this place, but whatever we're doing, living out a life that honors and glorifies God. Her name, Adelina Dominguez, and she died in San Diego not too long ago. She was 114 years of age. The oldest human being alive in America, at any rate. She outlived all of her children and most of her grandchildren. And when interviewed before she died about what gave her that longevity, she said, I don't know, it's all up to God. God did it, but I want you to know, I knew God had a purpose for my life. I want all of us to say that. I want all of us to know that. I want all of us to know why we're here. And just as we said that God has called us to worship, are you getting there? This week I said so many times to myself, Lord, if I don't get XYZ done today, I've worshiped you and I fulfilled my purpose. And it felt good because I'm a J on the Myers-Briggs. And that means I like to get stuff done. Don't you? Some of you do. You can understand. Some of you like to process. You don't care if you get anything done. Some of you like to get things done and check it off your list. And if you do something that's not on your list, you write it on the list and then you check it off. I know, because I'm neurotic like you. But I said, you know, the cool thing is I worshiped you and I fulfilled my purpose. I know you a little bit more today. And it's not about getting all that stuff done. It's about getting to know you. Hebrews 2:10, this verse is at the top of your outline. Would you look at it and then read it with me? Here's our purpose for today. God is the one who made all things, and all things are for His glory. He wanted to have many children to share His glory. God wanted a family. That's why we're here. Does that blow you away? I asked you last week, did God have to create you? Absolutely not. We believe in the self-sufficiency of God. He is the eternal God of the universe. He lived forever in the past. He will live forever into the future. He has no needs. And He didn't create you because He was lonely. He didn't create me because He just wanted more chaos to deal with. You know, He wanted a family. And the verse goes on. His unchanging plan. Yeah, read it with me. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible is about. The Bible is God's history of how He set apart building a family, building a people. That's why we have the class in this church called Firm in the Faith, because we want you to see what God's been doing from history past. And we want you to see how we as a church fit in to God's historical plan in building a family and building a kingdom and building a people. He made you for a relationship with Him, and He made you for a relationship with each other. And that's going to last eternally. Now that scares some of you, and I can understand it. Once you get started on worshiping God, He says, Now let's move into loving each other. 1 Peter 2:17 says, love your spiritual family. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to love each other. Why? Well, this is the second purpose of our life. To understand that we're a part of the body of Christ. That's what the choir was singing about. And even singing a song that was a prayer, make us one. How many of you woke up this morning and said, Lord, make me one with everybody that I'm going to see in church today? I didn't. It's exhausting to think about, isn't it? And yet, that's part of our purpose, to love others. God wants us to love others because, well, frankly, your physical family is going to fall apart on this earth. Some of you have already experienced that. Your physical family has fallen apart, and it's not going to last for eternity. And He wants us to love our family that will last for an eternity. He wants us to love them because, let me give you a couple of reasons. Number one, as we love one another, it makes us more like God. God is love. And as He loves through us with others in the body, we begin to experience His power through us. Makes us more like Him as He loves through us. Secondly, He wants us to love His children because He wants us to get along with one another. I was in an airport last night in Atlanta trying to get home. And I got home, obviously. It was about 10 o'clock, though everybody was tired. And you know, every flight into Orlando is packed, mostly with kids coming to Disney World, and their parents are exhausted, and their kids are jacked up on sugar and everything else, and they're so excited. These two little boys were standing in the boarding area doing martial arts on each other. It was so cool. I was just standing there watching. I'd been reading a novel. I was rested, you know. And these guys were yelling and screaming and going after each other, and it was great. And the mother was just fit to be tied. And she yelled at them long enough, and finally they sat down and got in line. I wanted to say to her, listen, ma'am, these are boys. Boys fight when they're happy, and they fight when they're mad. You ought to be happy that they're happy. They're getting along right now. Let them go. Parents always want their kids to be happy and to love each other. They want the siblings to get along. God the Father is no different. He wants us to love each other. Because we're all his kids. If you've accepted Christ, we're all his kids, and he wants us to get along. And then he also wants us to love each other because it's practice for eternity. Does that scare you? You only have to be in here for an hour or a little bit more if I go over. We're going to be with each other for eternity. He wants us to practice now. So write this down. My second purpose in life is fellowship. That's the word the Bible uses to describe loving each other. And there are so many misunderstandings of this idea of fellowship. Everybody has an idea. What's fellowship? You go into a potluck supper. Well, Presbyterians don't have potluck dinners. We have covered dish suppers because we don't believe in luck. If the food was bad, it was ordained by God. So we believe in covered dish supper. So is fellowship going to a covered dish supper? No. Some of you think fellowship is just talking with somebody. And I guarantee you, after this service, there will be a couple of guys that will be standing out on the patio and grab a cup of coffee. And they'll say, "How you doing? Good. How are you? Good. Did you have a good day? Yeah, it was a good week. Pretty good. Hey, who's gonna win the NBA playoffs?" And they're going to be going back and forth. The Spurs are going to get in there. Detroit, how about the Heat? And then they're going to say, "Hey, you have a good week. I got to get the kids. See you later. It's good fellowshipping with you." Did they fellowship? No, they were chewing the fat. They were hanging out. They were talking. That's not fellowship. Fellowship, and you can write this down too, fellowship is loving God's family. Fellowship is loving God's family. And so we've got to get our ideas of fellowship in line with what the Bible teaches about it. 1 John 4:21 says, "The person who loves God must also love other believers." We have to love other believers. And for some of you, I just ruined your day. You don't want to do that. How do we love one another? You say, "How do I love my spouse? How do I love my kids? Let alone, how do we love each other in the body of Christ?" Paul said this in 1 Timothy 3. He said, "I'm writing so that you'll know how to live in the family of God." That family is the church. See, the family of God is the church. The church is a family. And families ought to love each other. The church is not a club. The church is not a building. How many of you got up this morning and said, "Hurry up, we got to get to church"? Yeah. Hurry up, got to get to church. The church is... I was in Memphis Friday and Saturday. And I was with Steve Brown and those guys. We spoke in a church with a steeple that was about 16 stories high. I mean, you could see it in New York City, I'm convinced. And everywhere around, there were these buildings with these steeples. I mean, huge. I was so glad. I couldn't preach in a church. I'd be so intimidated. The church isn't the building. The church isn't a steeple. It's a people, right? It's a body. It's a family. It's you. It's not a building. It's not a club. It's a family. And there's a big difference between that. Today what we want to do is we want to take a look at the four levels of what it means to have fellowship with others in the body of Christ. The four levels of fellowship. Let's take a look. The first level is membership. And the first level, you can write this it means choosing to belong. Membership is choosing to belong. And this is the most basic level of the church. We make a decision to belong in a local body of Christ. Ephesians 2:19 says, "You are members of God's very own family, and you belong in God's household with every other Christian." You belong. The body of Christ is about belonging. Now, you can't know everybody in this place, and we'll talk about that in a couple of minutes. But the body of Christ and membership in the body is about choosing to commit and be a part of the body of Christ. When you were born, you didn't get to choose what family you would be born into. You can't choose your earthly family. And guess what? You can't choose your eternal family either. When you became a Christian, you were put into the body, into the family that God wanted there to be on this earth. What's called the invisible body of Christ. All those down through history who've ever embraced Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. You were put into that body. But you get to make a choice by God's leading about what local church you're going to become a part of. Where you will belong, where you will connect, what family you'll begin to join. And some people say, this is common. You know, I'm a Christian. Have you even met people like this? I'm a Christian, but I'm not a member of any local church. You've met those people, and really, guys, baby boomers, we're the worst. It is our generation that said, let's get rid of the whole idea of membership. And so a lot of people say, and that's crazy. Now, before I go on, I got to say this. You guys have known me for years, and you know I preach grace. And part of me doesn't even want to talk about this. Because part of me wants to say, I'm not going to guilt you guys into joining a church, whether it's this one or another one. No, I'm not going to. But if you never come to belong in any church, it's kind of silly. It's kind of a waste. It's like saying, I'm a football player, but I don't want to be on any team. I play the tuba, but I don't want to be in an orchestra. Now, I like tubas. And I like tubas marching together on a football field, you know, playing out there together. But one tuba alone? I'm a bee, but I don't want to be a part of the hive. You know, I mean, it's kind of crazy. It's silly for us to say, I'm a Christian, but I don't want to be a part of any local church. And this week we're going to talk in our groups about the six reasons why we ought to be members in a church and the benefits and how it meets our needs and how we meet other people's needs. But Romans 12 verse 5 says this, in Christ we who are many form one body and each member belongs to all the others. Catch this. The idea of membership is a biblical word. The world got it from us. You know, people say, I'm a member of a club. I'm a member of Kiwanis. This lady stopped me this weekend and said, what about Masonic? Should my husband be a part of the Masonic Lodge? I said, oh, ma'am, I can't talk. In the South, it's different. I said, I don't want to talk about that club. Let's talk about the body. We are members of one another. And think about this. Think about if you took your liver out and tried to connect it to another body, and then another body, and then after a short period of time, you took it out of that body and wanted to connect it to another. Well, you couldn't do it, obviously. It's an illustration, and they all break down. And then you took your liver again and put it to another body. What would happen? Shrivel up and die. We are members of one another, and so many Christians are shriveling up and dying today because they're not a part of any local church. I don't know everybody in this room, but it's important for us to talk about the reality of membership and fellowship. Fellowship happens when we decide to connect. Imagine if I said, hey, you know, I love you. I hate your body, but I love you. Imagine if we said to Jesus, I love you, but I hate your body. Hate your family. We were made to be a part of the body of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. And this is what it says in 1 Corinthians 12. We were proclaimed in the word and action when we were baptized. Each of us is now a part of his resurrection body. When we get baptized, when we baptize children of believers, they become a part of the visible body of Christ. If you have received Christ, and a friend of mine did, and I'm hoping to baptize him next week. If you're an adult and you come forward for baptism, you're saying, I'm not ashamed. I want to identify visibly and publicly with the body of Christ. You heard the little girl who came up to your pastor and said, Pastor, when can I get hypnotized? Baptism is not a manipulative thing. It's a way we come forward and say, I'm a part of the body. That's fellowship. Membership in a local church, when we identify publicly, that's fellowship at the most basic level. Secondly, fellowship, it goes a little bit deeper when you go a little bit further into the family of God. We can call that the friendship level. That's learning to share. And as we were created in the image of God, we understand that we were created to share, friendship level, in the body of Christ. In Ecclesiastes, in the Bible, in Genesis, it says, it is not good for the man to be alone. In Ecclesiastes, it says, two are better than one. In Acts 2:44, all the believers met together constantly and shared everything with each other. At the second level of fellowship in the church, we want to talk about friendship, about getting deeper. And the reality is that you cannot develop friends in the body of Christ unless you meet together. Unless you make a concerted effort to get to know somebody else in the body of Christ. Have you ever met somebody who knew somebody else, has known somebody else for a long time, childhood friends, 20 or 30 years, and you say, man, they are lucky to have a friend like that? I got a friend in California, and every time I go out there, I mean, we in fifth grade, his name is Jim, and he listens to these tapes. And I remember in fifth grade taking his shoes and throwing them over a high wire. We go back a long way. We know dirt on each other that nobody else ought to know. But, you know, over the years, it's not lucky that we're still friends. We've worked at it. And anybody that has deep friendships has to work. And it takes time. And the second level of friendship is to understand that friendship or membership is to understand that fellowship in the church is a choice to connect. It's a choice to go deeper, to build friends. We're so busy. We're working, we're achieving, but we spend so little time developing friendships in the body of Christ. It says they shared everything together. What did they share? Let me share with you some of the things that they shared at the friendship level in the early church. Number one, the Bible says that they shared their experiences, and so we are to share their experiences in the body of Christ. They shared the things they went through. They shared the experiences of their life. And one of the things that I want you to know, I have learned so much from people who have made mistakes. There's a benefit of being the second child. I had an older sister, and I saw the things she did and the things that didn't work and the trouble she got in. And I got in other trouble, but I didn't get in her trouble because I learned. We can't live long enough to learn all the lessons of life. Because then you learn them all and then you die. We need to learn from each other. They shared their experiences in the body of Christ. And we can learn from one another. Secondly, the Bible says we're to share our homes. They shared their homes. 1 Peter 4:9, open up your homes to each other. It doesn't say open up your home if it's a nice home or if the home is clean. It says open up your home. They shared their experiences. They shared their life. They shared their home. You know, in the early church, for the first 300 years of the church, there were no church buildings. You know that, don't you? All churches were home churches. And the home church movement led to the fastest growth of the church in all of history. You know why the Chinese church is so big today? Because it was outlawed and they couldn't build structures like this, and so they met in homes. And the churches proliferated everywhere. And they grew. They shared their experiences because they got together and shared their homes to one another. In this place, there is absolutely no fellowship right now taking place. If you're having fellowship, I'm going to stop it because we're not here for that. You're here to listen. Partly. We're here to worship, and we're here to learn, and we're here to get on the same page, but we're not doing fellowship here. I love this. Somebody sent this to me. They're sitting in church. Everybody's sitting in church. And this guy's got an embarrassed look on his face, and it says, it wasn't so much that Ed's cell phone rang during the Sunday sermon. It was that his ringtone was Highway to Hell. Now, if it goes off in a small group, you can talk about it. In here, you just feel embarrassed. Because we're not about fellowship here. We're here to begin to move into places where we can have fellowship. And that's in our homes and in our small groups. Do you know why small groups in America, and they've done studies on this, do you know why small groups are less popular and less successful in suburban areas? Why do you think that is? It's because we're so busy. We're always going to sports. We're going to practices. And because when you pull into your neighborhood, and you pull into your most neighborhoods, you press, not the remote, that's when you get inside, you press the remote garage door opener, and then that goes up, and then you pull in, and before World War II, you had to park outside. They didn't even have garages. At least by the time you got from the street to your house, you probably talked to a neighbor. We just don't anymore. And Florida's so hot. This is God's little example of hell during so much of the year. And you know, but when my kids were young, that's when I was out walking around in the neighborhood, talking to other people who were trying to keep their kids busy. We just don't. So we don't have the fellowship and the interaction. How many of you guys are in 40 days purpose groups? Raise your hand if you're in a 40 days group. Good. That's dynamite. How many of you are opening your home to a 40 days group? Good. Many of you are. How many of you, and you can be honest here, how many of you were a little scared about going into a small group, and maybe it was the first time, or you just didn't really want to go into the group? How many of you were a little bit afraid? Some of you were. You said, who am I going to get in that group with? Or some of you knew who were going to be in that group, and you were still scared. I hope that we will continue these groups. I hope they'll continue after. Because this is where we grow so many ways. This is where we fellowship. We share our lives. We share our homes. We share our problems. Weep with those who weep and rejoice with those who rejoice. You know what I'm convinced of? Most of us do not need to talk to an ordained minister. We do need to talk to an ordained Christian. And all of you guys are ordained. Now, if you get stuck, go to our counseling center. And if you get stuck, go to an ordained minister. He'll probably sign you up for a ministry or something. But a lot of times what you need is the fellowship in a small group. Someone said, when you share a joy, it is double. When you share a problem, you cut it in half. That's so true in the body of Christ. And we're not there to fix each other. We're there to share. Hebrews 10:25, let us not give up the habit of meeting together. Notice he calls it a habit of meeting together. It's something that we do and something that brings us together. If you're in a group and you don't like it, let me encourage you to find another one. Don't give up trying to find a group. After I went to a restaurant the other day that was absolutely pathetic, and I will never go back. But I'm not going to stop going to restaurants. And if you got into a group that doesn't fit you, we've got others. Look around. The third level of membership, then, is partnership. Partnership is doing my part. It's realizing that we have a contribution to make, that every one of us is a member and every one of us has a part in the body of Christ. And if you were to do a great study in the Bible, in the New Testament, take out your concordance and study the two words, one another. Study the one another commands in the New Testament, and you'll find that over 58 times the Bible talks about the one another. We're to love one another, to put up with one another, to teach one another, to encourage one another, all the one another commands, and we have gifts to share with each other. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 says, we are partners working together for God. We are partners We are partners. The Greek word is koinonia, which is translated fellowship. And we are a part of what God is doing in the world. And this company, this body, this business, the Father's business, this kingdom, is going to last forever. And there isn't one Fortune 500 company that's going to last into eternity. We are. And you're a part of it. And I get to be a part of it. And sometimes when I get tired of being a part of the family of God, I remember that I'm a part of the most important group of people that have ever lived. And what we're about will last forever. The deepest level of fellowship then is what we can call kinship. Kinship is an old term, and many of you, when you think of kinship, you think of the Beverly Hillbillies, that great theological statement of a movie. I loved it from years and years. But the Beverly Hillbillies talks about kinship at a deep level because they would do anything for kinfolks, and they had a lot of weird kin, didn't they? They were weird. But kinship is relationship at a deep level. Loving believers like the family. Acts 2:42 says they were like family to each other. God says, well, we're not just like a family, we are family. And that's why in Romans 12:10 it says, be devoted to each other like a loving family. Like a loving family. If you look in your outline, you can see that we are committed to John 3:16 as a church, but we also need to be committed to 1 John 3:16. This is what it says. Let's say it together if you got it there. We know what real love is because Christ gave up his life for us, and we ought to give up our lives for our Christian brothers and sisters. That's love at a kinship level. And you cannot have that with everybody in the church. Give up the idea that you're going to come to church one day and get to know anybody, everybody. You can get to know a few people at the kinship level. Some people have said, our church is too big. And then I go to other churches and they're bigger. There are churches I know that are only about 50. That's a lot of people if you're going to know everybody at a deep level. You just can't do it. But you can get to know a few people at a kinship level, at a deep level. How do we in America ever get that close to one another in the body of Christ? Do you know how Christians are getting closer to one another overseas right now as we speak? Christians together are getting to that deep level because Christians worldwide are being persecuted. 10 million Christians die every year for their faith. You haven't heard that, have you? It's an astonishing number, but when we understand that there are Christians living around Muslims who aren't afraid to kill them, when they're living around animists that aren't afraid to kill them, when we understand that there are Christians everywhere still being killed by pagans. When a Christian is being persecuted, it brings the church together. And when a brother dies or a sister dies, it has brought that church together. How do we together? In America, when we're not having that kind of persecution, how do we go to that deep level? I think when we get involved in each other's life at the crisis level, when you get involved with somebody because you're in their small group at a crisis level, when you are involved, and many of you are, and I hear the stories. I hear the stories of how you were there praying for somebody going through chemo, bringing food to somebody who lost a loved one during the time that we lost Tom Latimer in this church. So many of you pulled together and you did so much. You went through that crisis. You're still going through that crisis as you walk with that family and with Dave Cross. And I say, thank you for doing that. You said, no, it was a privilege. As we get involved with a few people, and go through the crisis of their lives, we go deeper. Stay away from any crisis and you'll never get close at a kinship level. And now let me say this. I can't get to every crisis. I can only get to very few. The elders can't get to all of them. The small group leaders can't get to everyone, but you can grow deeper with those near you. And when you do get involved, you grow closer to other Christians. Well, those are the levels, and we've got to be taught how to love. I'm going to pass over here just briefly to a point of application and to say this. By way of application, the question is for us, what level of fellowship are you at right now? At the membership level or maybe not? What level? Because God has called us to live our life in the community. Community is the buzzword today around the country. If you want to talk to somebody and be really hip on the church lingo, and I've just used two words that are out of style. You want to be hip and gnarly, and those words are out. You got to talk about community. I am in the community. The two greatest commandments are what? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And these are the first two purposes. If we want to fulfill our purpose on earth, we've got to worship, but we've also got to be connected in some way. What level are you at? I want to say that you will reach the level that God has for you. The plans for your life have got to be found in the context of His body, of His people. And if you are isolating yourself, you will not find His purpose for your life. Because so much of it is in the context of others. Can you know everybody? No. Can you know a few? Yes. And so I just ask you, as you think about these purposes and as we study it this week, to study what it means to be in fellowship. And it's not just talking about the basketball playoffs. It's not just talking about something that you just bought or are going to buy. It's about learning to love and learning to share. Tuesday mornings at 6 o'clock, well, at 5 when the alarm goes off, you got to tell you, my stomach turns into a knot because I really am not ready to get up. But then I get a little bit more awake and I remember that I'm going to meet the elders here at 6. And it's not long enough. We don't get to spend enough time praying for you or enough time praying for each other. But one of the deepest joys of my life is just sitting with these guys, these few guys that I'm getting to know at a deeper level, sharing our lives. And I always, always, always am glad I've gone. It's one of my fellowship groups. And I hope that you will find yours. Take it to heart. Let's pray. You know, it really could be that today you realize you're not a member of the body of Christ because you have never embraced Christ. And all of this is based on the reality that we are His people. Christians are not perfect. But we are people who have come to the point by God's grace that we realize we need a Savior. We needed forgiveness for our sins and direction in our life. And if you have never embraced Christ as your Savior, then you wonder why you don't feel at home in the church is because you're not yet a part of His family. And we want to invite you to embrace Him. All it takes is to come to the point where you humble yourself before Him and worship Him and say, "You are great, Father." You could pray something like this in your heart. "You are great and mighty and righteous, and I'm not. And today, I bow before you. I bow before you and I confess my sins and I embrace Jesus as my Savior. I want to be a part of your family. I want to be a part of you, Father. I want to be a part of your people. And so come into my life and to make me yours. Lord, today as your people, we come before you. Help us to find the connection someplace, to understand what fellowship is and to find our purpose in that. And we'll give you praise and honor and glory as we pray these things in your holy name. Amen.
Willow Creek Church is associated with the Presbyterian Church in America. Our website is www.willowcreekchurch.org and our phone number is 407-699-8211.